We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're chatting today with Bob Koppel, who's the president of Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. We've been talking about hospital activities, a little bit about robotic surgery, which is really cool. The technology really, the technology aspect of hospitals today is way different than it was years ago. We're talking a little bit about that during the break, just how much things have changed.
Well, you know, actually, we were talking during the break. So Jean, our 50-year nurse, and how much some of the technology that we have today, of course, didn't exist in 1969, of course, but even the things that have changed in the last 5 years, 10 years, are the ability to do different kinds of imaging, the quality of the imaging. You know, it's kind of interesting now. So one of the biggest challenges with some of the new imaging modalities like 3D mammography or things like that is actually moving the data. It's not taking the scan. It's moving the data from A to B so it can be read by radiologists or pushing the results or whatever, which has pushed the need for more fiber optics and greater bandwidth and all those kinds of things too. And it's just you've got to have all of those pieces.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And you know, you guys are raising money for a new cath lab there. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're getting closer to fundraising for that.
Yes. So our Mercy Community Foundation has been working for the last several months, probably since the first of the year, fundraising for a replacement cath lab. And so we have one. This would be obviously new in service, and that would give us having the ability to have two labs running. The issue there is really just access. And if you've got somebody who, you know, it can be as simple as they need a catheter put in for dialysis, or we're putting in a stent for something in their, you know, coronary artery. It's just having that ability to be able to treat people simultaneously, different needs, and to get people in faster. Because sometimes it's just either a scheduling problem or, you know, you're going late in the day when you'd rather have something done earlier. So the capacity issues, that's big. And then also it's just a need to – you've got to update technology. And the lab that we're replacing would have had, I think, its 20th birthday this year if it was still in operation. So it's one of those things where we just need you need to stay kind of current from a technology standpoint. The new lab is going to allow us to do that. And it's really a benefit not only to our cardiologists and our cardiologists who do interventional work, but also the radiologists who do interventional radiology procedures. So kind of a wide gamut of patients who can be treated, and just an opportunity, again, keep people here in the community for that and to allow the local physicians to really practice and use the skills that they have.
All right. Again, we're talking with Bob Koppel here from Ascension Via Christi Hospital. I wanted to ask you a little bit about – I know you wrote an op-ed recently here about there was a recent story about Stormont Vail Hospital acquiring Manhattan Surgical Hospital. And I wanted to let you kind of just clarify some things that were not entirely accurate in the Mercury story that was released.
Well, so Stormont's actually – they have purchased a minority interest, so they didn't actually – they've not acquired the Manhattan Surgical Hospital. It's just a minority part of that.
Right.
So it's still actually the Manhattan Surgical Hospital, still same leadership, number of the same physicians on the board, et cetera, things like that. You know, I think there's just concern that perhaps the bigger picture or other things aren't being brought forth about why it's important to have a full-service local community hospital. And if that's threatened, you know, we're threatened to have whether or not we would have certain other services. So just really wanted to bring that forward and help explain that. I mean, I think there's our industry is complex, and it's a little difficult sometimes to help people understand that if, for example, at our hospital, if we're not doing surgeries, well, the income from that is what supports things that don't generate income or actually lose money. So be able to support having outpatient behavioral, doing cardiac rehab, you know, having a sexual assault nurse examiner program, those sorts of things. We've got to have a full range of services to be able to generate the income to be able to support those other services.
All right. And, so there's there are two different entities, correct? Your hospital and surgery.
Oh, yeah. Center. Yeah. Always have been.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Sure. Well, you know, we share a campus. We actually
– right.
We share a medical staff. So of the surgeons who work at the surgical hospital, the exact same surgeons that are working in our hospital. And that over the years, I would say that there's probably been certainly tension at times. There's certainly, you know, people trying to work together, trying to do the right thing. You know, we just talked about robotic surgery. These are all surgeons in our community. They're the guys who have made this possible for the people in our community. And, you know, on our side, we're providing the technology and the staff and the space, et cetera. But it does come down to you. If you don't have physicians with certain skill sets, you can't offer certain services in your community. Bottom line, that is how it works. So it's trying to, you know, have a collegial relationship. It is trying to cooperate and collaborate as much as you possibly can. And then on the flip side, you know, if there's a concern that that we're threatened or that we're not being able to offer certain services, you know, we just want to make sure that people understand that.
Okay. Very good. Well, looking ahead to next year here in 2020, what any goals you have for the hospital going forward?
Well, you know, actually our primary goal, it's kind of interesting, what maybe not what people think about it, but it's really just keep focused on continuing to attract and retain staff, because that's really our enabler. And so the more staff we have, the better able we are to keep and care for patients here. And then, you know, I think as a secondary thing is that kind of ripples out. So we have some, you know, we talked before, so we have some physician retirements on the horizon for the community. From a primary care standpoint, we kind of got that balanced. I think most people probably feel pretty good about how we're positioned with that. We're not as well positioned with some of the specialists, specifically some of the medical specialists. And so I think that's, at least for me and our team, that's just an area of focus of how are we going to supplement those folks, because actually everybody needs them. And the primary care docs need them, the surgeons need them, the other medical specialists actually need each other. And so how do we, again, in an environment where we have mainly independent physicians, how do we help either facilitate getting additional medical specialists here, help people recruit medical specialists, or is that something that we're going to have to – right now we actually are recruiting ourselves for some medical specialists, because we've just got to get these folks here, or that's going to be a problem in the very near term, quite honestly, for healthcare in the community. So it's just – but the challenge is finding people. And a lot of folks coming out of medical school, going into residency, do not pick medical specialists for their future career. And so when you're talking about trying to find a neurologist or a pulmonologist or an infectious disease physician or a psychiatrist, you don't necessarily have a big pool of people that are actually going to finish a residency program in those specialties. Everybody's got the same issues at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you're trying to recruit against all the other communities, in our case, Kansas, but also, quite honestly, a lot of this is national recruiting. So you're trying to position both the community and our organization such that somebody's going to want to come and be a neurologist here in Manhattan, Kansas, or be a, you know, infectious disease physician, that sort of thing. So,
well, looks like we have a phone call here real quick. Let's get to that. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes. Thank you. You're a well-spoken representative of the hospital. As a member of the public, I was wanting to reassure you of my support to you in the discussions. If they have an accident at InBath, that you may not have the facilities there to handle that kind of a high-risk situation coming into the emergency room, and suggest that with your involvement in the discussions with them, that their on-site medical should stabilize the patient and their on-site ambulance service should take them to the federal Fort Riley hospital inside the fence and the guarded areas and not put your people at risk and contaminate a wonderful facility that you have. Thank you so much for your paying attention to this subject.
Well, and this, I guess, just to reassure you, the federal facilities like InBAF, quite honestly, rarely have issues. The InBAF is designed, and they actually will have on-site healthcare personnel, but also at the hospital, knowing that obviously the InBAF was going to be happening, there was a renovation of the emergency room done back kind of in the 2015 going into the 2016 timeframe. There actually is a decontamination and an isolation room right off the outside of the building that's separate from the rest of the department, just for the purpose, not only just somebody from InBAF, but we live in an agriculture area, and one of the biggest sources of folks who are contaminated or have things like, actually from farming. And it's that people get bad chemical spray or other things on them. So actually, we have a shower decontamination and then a separate isolation room right there. Our staff are trained for that. We have actual gear that they put on. So just want to reassure you that that's not a, you know, it's certainly a known potential. We actually drill and practice for things like this. And we'll, as the NBAF ramps up, then we will have a very specific training again for folks on that. But certainly prepared, medical staff knowledgeable. And we do have procedures in place to mitigate things like that. And we would, of course, you know, cooperate with the federal authorities as we're taking care of one of the folks. So.
All right. Thank you for the call. And we're out of time here. So I guess we'll let you out of here, okay. Mr. Koppel. Appreciate you coming on. We'll have you on sometime down the road.
Okay. Thanks, Brandon.
Again, Bob Koppel, CEO with Ascension Via Christi Hospital, or president, I should say. Back after this on News Radio KMAN.